As we come down to the close of 2017, and as we look forward to a new year, I want us to think about our salvation. Are you sure you are saved? We look back over this year and we see how the Lord has blessed us in so many ways. And many people are thinking about maybe those New Year's resolutions. What about, friends, the resolve to be saved and be right with God? And if you believe you are, ask yourself, are you sure you are? I want to talk this morning about 1 John, the book of 1 John in the New Testament, and how John writes to assure us that we can know that we can be saved. He gives us that confidence. We sing in our song books, "Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine." John wants us to have the assurance and the confidence and the boldness to know that we are right with God. But friends, are you sure you are saved? That's a good question for us to think about as we close this year and as we, Lord willing, if it's His will, we begin a new year. Why not begin the best way, and that is to be saved and to be right with God? I believe many are uncertain about their salvation because they hear conflicting voices in religion. Different religions are saying different things about what it takes to be saved. Different preachers and pastors and reverends and ministers are all preaching different kinds of things, things other than the New Testament. Many are uncertain because they have feelings of fear or doubt or worry, or they feel like they cannot be right with God or live up to His standard in some way. But God wants us to be fully assured. God wants us to know and have confidence and assurance that we are right with God. And one book in the New Testament that really spends a lot of time on that subject is the book of 1 John. It's a book of assurance. For example, in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, John writes, "And now, my little children, abide in Him, that if He shall be manifest, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." In chapter 3 and verse 19, John writes, "Hereby shall we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our heart before Him." In 1 John chapter 4 and verse 17, again, John writes, "Herein is love made perfect with us, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, even so we are in this world." And in chapter 5 and verse 13, "These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life, even unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the boldness which we have toward Him." 1 John is a book of assurance and confidence and boldness. This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want us to consider three truths that John writes about. Three truths that John says will give us true assurance and confidence of salvation. Not pride or arrogance, but assurance and confidence that we are right and saved with God. How can I know for sure that I'm saved? How can you know for sure that you are saved? Well, John's going to tell us three things. First of all, he's going to tell us that assurance and confidence comes from what is written in God's Word. Number two, assurance and confidence comes from the Spirit's testimony. And number three, assurance and confidence comes from presently walking in the light, each day living the way God would have us to live. Let's look at those three things from 1 John this morning. First of all, John says that assurance and confidence comes from what is written in God's Word. It doesn't come from what we think or what we feel or what other people are saying. It comes when we read God's Word, and God's Word tells us what to do to be saved and how to stay saved. We just read 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. "These things have I written unto you, that you may know that you have eternal life. So what was written that you may know. We can know that we have eternal life by looking at what is written. We don't need to say, well, I feel I'm saved. I think I'm saved. We need to read that in God's Word. We don't need to look at the matter of sin and salvation based upon what we think and what we feel and does it match up logically with this or that. We need to look at the subject of sin and salvation biblically, not logically. Does it fit my thinking? But biblically, is it written in God's Word? John wrote and recorded a message so that his readers may know that they are saved. You can also look at 1 John 5 and verse 20. And we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding that we know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. The book of 1 John opens up in 1 John chapter 1, the first four verses, where John talks about how that he personally knew Jesus Christ. He saw him, he handled him, he heard him, and then he wrote that down. That which was from the beginning, speaking about Jesus Christ, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, that which we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. And then he goes on down to say, and these things we write, verse 4, that our joy may be made full. The word know is found 26 times in 1 John. The word write or written is found 11 times in 1 John. We can know that we are saved by appealing to the written Word of God. I know that we have feelings and thoughts. Human beings are emotional beings. I believe that that is one way that we are made in the image of God. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. We have the power of reason. We have emotion. We have an eternal spirit. I believe these are ways that we are made in the image of God. However, emotions and feelings and reasonings alone can be misleading, and especially on the subject of salvation. Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23 that it is not in man that walketh to direct his own steps. There have been different individuals in the Word of God who have been told what they need to do to obey God, and sometimes they will say that they thought that they could do something else, or they felt that they could do something else. I remember the story of Naaman the leper in 2 Kings chapter 5. He was a leper, and the prophet of God, Elisha, told him what he could do to get rid of his leprosy if he would go dip 7 times in the Jordan River. And when Elisha told him to do that, Naaman was upset. And in 2 Kings 5:11, Naaman said, I thought, behold, I thought, he, the prophet, will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of Jehovah his God and wave his hand over the place and recover the leper. Well, that's not how it was going to be done. He thought that the prophet would wave his hand over the leprosy and it would be gone. But the prophet came and told him he had to dip in the Jordan River 7 times. We can think all kinds of things all day long, but it's not what God wants. So when Naaman told him to go dip in the Jordan, that was different. And then with regard to the river itself, in verse 12, Naaman said, are not the Abana and the Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? No, sir, you may not, because that's not God's word. That's not what God wants you to do. You may not do that and recover of your leprosy. You can go do that. You can wash in those other rivers, but you won't be cleansed of your leprosy. I thought those rivers would be fine. Behold, I thought. I wonder sometimes in the judgment day if that's what a lot of people are going to be thinking or saying. I thought this and I thought that. Well, you thought wrong, Naaman. Fortunately, when he did go dip seven times in the Jordan, he was cleansed of his leprosy. Verse 14. Feelings, friends, can be uncertain. They can be misleading. But God's word is always unchanging and sure. God's word abides forever. 1 Peter 1:25. Feelings can be uncertain. Feelings can produce false concerns. I remember the story of Jacob and his sons who came back from Egypt, and they showed him the bloody garment, and he thought that his son had died. In Genesis chapter 37 and verse 34, and he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn in pieces." And Jacob rent his garments and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And yet, he really wasn't dead. Look at that statement. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt torn in pieces. Well, it wasn't true. And we can say, well, without a doubt, such and such. Well, you may not be doubting it, but it's still not true. God's word is accurate. God's word always tells the truth. Sometimes our feelings and emotions do not, because we don't have all of the facts, all of the truths. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 20, John writes, "If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things." Even sometimes when we say that we're wrong and our heart condemns us, we may not actually be condemned. Feelings can produce false confidence. There's a way in man that seems right, but the end thereof is the way of death. Proverbs 14:12. Saul of Tarsus, before he became a Christian, and the Apostle Paul, in Acts 26 and verse 9, he said, "I thought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus." I thought to do many things. He shouldn't have been doing that, but that's what he thought to do. He persecuted Christians before he became one himself. And he did that in all good conscience, Acts 23 and verse 1. But his conscience was misguided. God's word is always the truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth," John 17, verse 17. We can know the truth, and the truth can make us free, John 8, verse 32. We need to turn to the truth of God's word. The psalmist in Psalm 119, the whole psalm is praising God's word. Psalm 119, verse 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." That needs to be our guide, not feelings. How can I know that I'm saved? Not by feelings, but by the Word of God. What is written in the Word of God? And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. What is written in the Word of God with regard to being saved? We'll talk about that in just a minute. Number two, John writes in 1 John that assurance and confidence comes from the Spirit's testimony, what the Holy Spirit says, not from man's assurances. Any preacher or pastor or reverend or minister can give us assurance, but that may not be true. Our assurance needs to come from the words of the Holy Spirit. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 18, John warned about false prophets who were out misleading others. And he wanted his readers to stay with the truth of what the Spirit had said. Look at 1 John 2:18, "Little children, it is the last hour. And as ye heard that the Antichrist cometh, even now There have arisen many antichrist, whereby we may know that it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out, that they may be made manifest that they are not of us. And you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, even he that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that confesseth the Son hath the Father also. As for you, let that abide in you which you had from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise which he promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that would lead you astray. And as for you, the anointing which you received of him abideth in you, and you need not that anyone teach you, but as his teaching teacheth you concerning all things, and is true, and is no lie, even as it is taught in you, and you abide in him. And now, my little children, abide in him, that if he shall be made manifest, we may have boldness, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. They had received an anointing from the Holy Spirit. That was the words of the Holy Spirit. We find the same thing in chapter 4, verses 1 through 6, that different false teachers had gone out, and they're not to pay attention to them. John wanted his readers to test what was said by man with what was said by the Holy Spirit. In chapter 3 and verse 24, "And he that keepeth his commandments abideth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he gave us." The words of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 4 and verse 13, "Hereby we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit." Chapter 5, verses 7 through 9, "And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is the truth." And so the Holy Spirit came to guide the apostles into all the truth. John 14, John 15, John 16. And in John 16, verses 8 through 13, the Holy Spirit would guide the apostles into all the truth. And they, the Holy Spirit, would tell the apostles what to tell others in being saved. When the apostles first stood up on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Peter and the other apostles told the crowd there to repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. Now we're beginning to see, what is the Spirit's testimony with regard to man's salvation? What does the Spirit say? Not what churches say, not what man says, not even what Chris Reeves says. But what does the Spirit say on the pages of Scripture? Acts 2:38, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins." The Ethiopian eunuch was told to confess Christ and be baptized, Acts 8:37 and 38. The eunuch said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." The Corinthians heard the gospel, they believed it, and were baptized, Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. Jesus said in Mark 16:15 and 16, to go preach the gospel to the whole creation, telling his disciples, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that disbelieveth shall be condemned." The Holy Spirit guided the apostles to tell people how to be saved, and they told them to repent and be baptized. And so the Holy Spirit's words tell people what they need to do. And so we need to investigate the words of the Holy Spirit. We need to test what man says and compare that with what the Holy Spirit says on the pages of the New Testament. That's why in Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, the Bereans were more noble than others because they searched the Scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was true. We have to open up our Bibles and turn to the Scriptures. And when I mention Scriptures on these programs, open your Bible up and see if I'm using those Scriptures properly. We're to test all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 and 20. Hold fast that which is good. Abstain from every form of evil and hold fast that which is good. We've got to make a determination if what is being said is true. And the way we do that is, back to 1 John, in 1 John 4, 1 through 6, John says that there are false teachers that have gone out into the world. And then he says in verse 6, we are of God. We, John and the other apostles, we are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. We're going to listen to what the apostles say in the New Testament. He who is not of God heareth us not. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. How do we know what's true? How do we know what's erroneous? What is true is what is on the pages of the New Testament. What is erroneous is not there. It's something more or less or other than the New Testament. And that's what you'll hear today in so many churches with regard to what to do to be saved. So, how can we have assurance and confidence that we're saved? Number one, it comes from the written Word of God. Number two, it comes from what the Spirit says in the written Word of God. What did the Spirit tell the apostles to tell others to do to be saved? Baptism was always something that they were told to do to be saved for the remission of their sins, and yet baptism today is something that is left out of the plan of salvation in many churches across this town and state and country and around the world. It's not the only thing we must do, but it is the culmination of all those things. When we repent of our sins, turn our back, when we confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, Romans 10, 9 and 10, then we're to be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of our sins, to wash away our sins, Acts 22, 16. And that's what the Holy Spirit told the apostles to tell others. And that's what we must say today if we're going to tell the truth. And so, when the Holy Spirit gives His word, and then we can honestly say that we've done that, then we can know that we are saved. Paul writes in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, he says, the Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Holy Spirit tells us what we must do to be saved. And when we match up with that, then we can know that we are a child of God. The third thing that John writes back in 1 John, he says that assurance and confidence comes from presently and currently walking in the light. We're not going to rest on past accomplishments. We can know that we are saved, not because we say, 10 years ago I used to live right, 15 years ago I used to live right. No, we can say that we are saved when we are presently living right. 1 John 1:5, and this is the message which we have heard from Him and announce unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in the darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Assurance and confidence comes from presently walking in the light. Light in the New Testament is righteousness, proper living, holiness, godliness. The New Testament simply does not teach once saved, always saved. We looked at this in a previous Let the Bible Speak program not too long ago. The Bible simply does not teach once you're saved, you're always saved. It's taught by man, but it's not taught in the Scripture. So, the assurance of salvation is conditioned upon doing what God wants us to do each day. Look at the word if. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Look at verse 9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us. If we don't, then we won't be forgiven. If we don't walk in the light, we do not have fellowship. Look at chapter 2 and verse 3. Hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. If we don't keep His commandments, we do not know Him. Look at chapter 2 and verse 24 that we read earlier. As for you, let that abide in you which you had heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and the Father. But if they don't allow it to abide in them, his word, then they do not abide in the Father or the Son. Look at chapter 4 and verse 12. The little word if is different places all throughout the book of 1 John. 1 John 4:12. No man hath beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abideth in us. If we don't love one another, then he does not abide in us. To be saved, friends, we need to live a life apart from sin. We do not need to make a habit of daily sinning. In 1 John, there are places where John writes about not sinning. 1 John 2 and verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you that you may not sin. We need to get up each day with a determination, we're not going to sin today. Now, what if we do? John says, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. We're going to talk about what we need to do in just a minute if we need to be forgiven of a sin after we become a Christian. But John says we need to live without sin. That needs to be our attitude. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 6 through 9, whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. That's the present tense, makes a practice of sinning. John's not talking about a one-time sin. He's talking about this person does not make a practice of sinning, does not make a habit of sinning. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18, we know that whosoever is begotten of God sinneth not. He's not talking about a one-time sin here or there. He does not make a practice of sinning, but he that was begotten of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. So we need to live without sin. But what if we sin? Well, 1 John 1:7, confess it. Pray for forgiveness, 1 John 5:14 through 16, and return to doing God's commandments, 1 John 2 and verse 3. Friends, we can know that we are saved, but it's not going to be based upon feelings and thoughts. It's not going to be based upon what other humans tell us. It's going to be based upon, was it written in the Word of God? Is it the Spirit's testimony? And am I presently walking in the light? If you're not sure, let's sit down with an open Bible and find out from the facts, from the Word of God, if you are saved or not. If we can have a Bible study with you, if you'll come and worship with us and study with us, I'd be glad to do that. We invite you at any time. I can come study with you in your home. I'd be glad to do that. We need to know that we are saved and be assured and confident of that. We need to remember that God is not out to get us. He's out to help us. He's not against us. He is for us. He wants us to be saved. And so he tells us what we can do to be right with him. We're glad that you've joined us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, and we hope that you'll continue to study with us. Have a good day.